This video presents the teachings of various occult doctrines by formidable authors who devoted their lives to exploring the mysterious and enigmatic laws of the universe. In a world where many people think that their thoughts or actions go unpunished, these secret teachings explain the intricate process of karma and how our thoughts and actions, whether evil or good, will most definitely come back to haunt us or bless us. So join us in this video to understand why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. We assure you that by the end of the video, you'll understand why every action you take creates an equal reaction, sometimes when you least expect it. Karma suggests that when an individual engages in any action, they expend their own energy. And this energy, as it interacts with the surrounding environment, results in a reaction or rebound, essentially creating a chain of causation. Karma is not fate or random chance, rather, it represents a belief in free will. The entity initiating an action is accountable for the following consequences and effects, which inevitably return to impact the initiator, reflecting a continuous chain of causation stretching from the past into the infinite future. This concept is reassuring as it empowers individuals to shape their own destinies by aligning with the natural energies, making them collaborators with nature, much like the gods. No action, not even a sinful thought, goes without consequences. Thoughts, being potent creators of evil, are often punished more severely than deeds. We uphold the concept of karma, an unerring law of retribution that operates through a natural sequence of causes and their inevitable outcomes. The universal deity, represented by karma, embodies an unwavering power devoid of wrath or mercy, only absolute fairness. Those who seek revenge and refuse to forgive, despite believing in karma, are considered criminals and harm themselves. Karma ensures that the one who wronged them will be punished, and by attempting to inflict additional punishment, the avenger only contributes to the future reward of their enemy and their own impending punishment. When a thought has once left the mind, it is impossible to withdraw the energy with which we have charged it, for then it is already an elemental being, beginning its upward journey. Still, if neutralizing thoughts of an opposite character are immediately sent forth, the two then coalesce, and the effects of the evil ones are made harmless. By thinking a noble thought or doing a good deed, following upon an evil impulse, although we cannot recall the evil thought or action and undo it, we can, to a certain extent, render at least less harmful the evil that our wrong thought or act brought about. Do not let the outcome of your good deeds be your sole motivation. Your actions, whether good or bad, belong to all of humanity. Any selfish motive will produce both positive and negative effects, potentially canceling out your good deeds or benefiting someone else. True happiness is elusive for those who focus solely on themselves and ignore others. The universe suffers under the burden of self-centered actions, karma, and only selfless deeds can alleviate it. Emulate the gods when they incarnate, by considering yourselves as vehicles for the entire human race, treating all of mankind as a part of yourselves and acting accordingly. Bitter always are the fruits of retribution, for there is no escape from the consequences of an act once done, of a thought once thought, or of an emotion once liberated. For exactly what ye sow, that shall ye reap. Until through bitter experiences, the fundamental lesson of life is learned, which is the bringing of the self into ever greater harmony with the cosmic self. Every selfish act holds us back, but noble thoughts and selfless deeds lead us to higher planes of existence. If we only focus on this life, it might seem limited, but if seen as preparation for the next, it becomes a gateway to a richer existence, shared with others in the palaces that await beyond. Karma is the fundamental law governing the universe, encompassing all other natural laws. It ensures that every cause leads to its rightful effect across the physical, mental, and spiritual realms. Just as every action has a consequence, whether on a cosmic scale or in the movement of a hand, karma operates intelligently, linking each effect back to its original cause. While we may not comprehend karma's essence, we understand how it functions as a law that restores balance in the physical and moral aspects of existence. Our current life and circumstances are outcomes of our past actions and thoughts, even though the specifics of karma's workings remain beyond our understanding. Believing in karma provides a profound rationale for accepting our present circumstances and serves as a powerful motivation to strive for a better future in subsequent lifetimes. Karma's sole and unchanging decree is to maintain absolute harmony in both the material and spiritual realms. It is not karma that rewards or punishes. Rather, we reward or punish ourselves based on whether we align with the laws governing that harmony or break them. Understanding karma becomes clear if humanity cooperates and works in harmony instead of discord. Ignorance about the ways of karma would vanish if we attributed life's challenges to their actual causes. If people acted with the knowledge that harm to others leads to negative consequences for themselves, much of the world's suffering would disappear. Every aspect of our lives, whether good or bad, can be traced back to our actions in this life or a previous one. Breaking the laws of harmony leads to self-created chaos, making individuals responsible for their own salvation or destruction without blaming external forces like gods or fate. Karma is an unceasing force that affects everything in the universe, from planets to individuals, and is closely tied to the concept of reincarnation. It operates as a law of ethical causation, delivering justice, rewards, and punishments based on actions and thoughts. This universal law ensures that no being or place is exempt from its influence, guiding all towards perfection through discipline, rest, and reward. There are three types of karma. 1. Unseen karma, not yet producing effects due to the influence of other karmic causes. 2. Present karma, created by current thoughts and actions, awaiting future manifestation in subsequent lives. 3. Active karma, currently producing results in the present life due to causes set in motion in past lives. These three categories of karma govern individuals, animals, worlds, and evolutionary periods. They operate on various aspects of human nature, mental, intellectual, psychical, and physical, similarly affecting races, nations, and families. The combination of reincarnation and karma explains the world's suffering, eliminating accusations of nature's injustice. Individual happiness or unhappiness is attributed to past actions, either as punishment or as a form of discipline taken up by the individual ego for personal growth. The ethical foundation rooted in these doctrines provides a scientific and self-compelling basis for right conduct. Karma means action, encompassing the law of cause and effect on physical, mental, and spiritual levels. Belief in karma would transform our moral understanding, just as people believe in its physical consequences. It's like reaping what you sow, whether good or bad. Though the results may be delayed, we are shaped by our past actions, but karma is not fate. It's the harvest of our own seeds. Approach your karma with equanimity, learning lessons that enlighten and bless. The inner divine self can influence past results, using even our mistakes as stepping stones to higher things. Excusing oneself from helping others due to karma interference goes against living rightly and understanding universal brotherhood. All beings are interconnected, and helping and sharing are fundamental laws of the universe. While not all suffering is a result of sin, those aiding humanity might endure suffering in holding back the world's heavy karma. The religion which alone will fitly correspond to our innate religious nature will be a universal system of human brotherhood, based on the knowledge that we are essentially divine. A system that will warm our hearts with the knowledge that there is nothing outside ourselves that can save or damn us. That it is we ourselves who alone must and can work out our own salvation. The concept of karma is a way of expressing the diverse activities of existence, reflecting the universal life force. Karma is not conscious or unconscious, and it is neither inherently good nor bad. It is an automatic process stemming from the core consciousness of every being. While karma is sometimes referred to as the law of ethical causation, this phrase only captures one aspect of its operation. Karma extends its influence over the so-called inanimate world as much as it does over human hearts and minds. The term rules is a simplification. Strictly speaking, karma doesn't rule or govern like an external force. Instead, it operates like the automatic ebb and flow of the tides in the ocean. Nature operates in harmony, and any action within the animate beings of nature invokes a reaction from the surrounding universe to restore equilibrium. This interplay between the originating consciousness of an entity and the reaction from nature is what we refer to as karma. There are no laws of nature apart from entities that act. It is the acting entity which produces or originates karma. When an individual is ready to reincarnate, they are naturally drawn to a family and womb that resonate with their vibrational frequency. The traits a child possesses are not given by the parents, but are already within the child, attracting them to parents who can provide a suitable body for expressing those traits. Children born to the same parents can differ significantly, because strong antipathies can paradoxically attract each other. Upon death, an individual carries the essence of their character, known as skandhas, into the invisible realms. The reincarnating entity gathers these attributes as it descends through the birth process, and they gradually manifest as the child's personality. Ultimately, a person inherits from themselves. Heredity is inseparable from character, and character is inseparable from heredity. Even in physical heredity, the body is shaped by the individual, with parents serving as the workshop and suppliers of materials. The incarnating entity guides this process, and the chosen environment becomes the magnetic field for working out dominant character aspects in that particular incarnation. Despite these influences, man possesses free will. In the present, they shape the character for their next incarnation. In essence, an individual is their own heredity, their own character, and their own karma. Everything is the result of a previous cause, and that cause cannot affect an individual unless that individual was somehow connected to the production of that cause. Karma governs all things with infinite justice, establishing the law of harmony. Our limited human understanding may struggle to see how harmony can be restored many years after an event, but our perception of time is constrained to the time sphere we inhabit. In this universe, absolute justice prevails, and every action, thought, or emotion has its due and orderly consequences. When we witness something we can't comprehend, we might label it an accident, revealing our ignorance of the past. However, events could not occur unless there was some past connection, either in this life or a previous one, entwined with the causes that lead to these consequences. This suggests a world governed by law and order, rather than one driven by chance and randomness. While the body may perceive an accident, the enduring self recognizes it as the outcome of karmic justice. The law of karma is closely connected with reincarnation. Understanding the continuous rebirths of an individual throughout the life cycle helps unravel the mysteries of good and evil, providing a perspective that reconciles us with life's apparent injustices. The law of karma doesn't predetermine anything. It exists in eternity itself and is not an active force but a fundamental aspect of the cosmos. Karma doesn't create or plan. It is the individual who initiates actions, and the karmic law adjusts the resulting effects, seeking universal harmony. Imagine a branch of a tree being bent forcefully. If it rebounds and dislocates someone's arm, it's not the branch that caused harm, but the individual's own actions. Karma is an absolute and eternal law in the manifested world, inseparable from the unknowable, serving as an aspect of the unknowable's effects in the phenomenal world. Believers in karma think that individuals create their destiny throughout their lives, akin to how a spider weaves a cobweb. This destiny is influenced either by an external force or by our inner selves. Both forces guide us, but eventually one prevails. The law of compensation ensures fairness throughout this process, balancing the consequences of our actions. Once the last thread is woven, individuals find themselves under the influence of their self-made destiny, either facing it like a shell against a rock or being carried away like a feather in a self-induced whirlwind. This is what is referred to as karma. Both health and disease are karmically the consequences of the characters and tendencies which we ourselves have impressed upon the life atoms composing the various sheaths in which we, the human egos, are clothed during earth life. Impressed upon them by our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, and our habits, disease, therefore, is the working out of karma. For everything that comes to a man is the consequence, the flowering, of seeds sown in the past. It is the form of selfishness called passion, whether conscious or unconscious, which is the fruitful cause of disease, unconquered violent passion, such as hatred, anger, lust, etc. Any such passion, mental or physical, shakes the lower constitution of man. A disease should be understood as a purifying process, because the end will be a cleansing. Diseases actually are warnings to reform our thoughts and to live in accordance with nature's laws. If we help others, it's not just their good karma, but ours too. Neglecting opportunities to do good is our bad karma, because we missed a chance to assist. The masters advise us not to dwell on our karma, but to fulfill our duties, regardless of the outcomes. We're interconnected in a shared karma, so striving for good deeds, positive thoughts, and lofty goals helps alleviate the world's collective karma, in which ours is a part. Recognizing and acting on this interconnectedness benefits both us and the world. The unbreakable unity of the human race requires us to see everyone's troubles as partly our responsibility, since we have always been part of the collective that shapes the conditions leading to suffering. At all times, humans are agents of karma, engaging in actions, thoughts, creating new karma, undergoing past karma, or influencing others. If you decide to administer punishment, thinking you are a karmic agent, you might just be satisfying old grudges. It's more compassionate, wise, and theosophical to heed the teachings of figures like Jesus and Buddha, forgiving others repeatedly, understanding that kindness can overcome many wrongs, and avoiding self-righteousness that might lead us to correct others instead of focusing on our own duties.